morning's Bible reading, John 20, 1 to 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I do not know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabbani," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of God.
Christ is risen! Beautiful. If you've ever been a part of one of my Easter services, then you may have remembered that I always start Easter services and my sermons with these words. Because this is wonderful news. And why not start with in that way? And just think about how wonderful this news must have been for Mary and the disciples on that original day that Jesus was resurrected. Jesus, their teacher and friend, who they thought was the Messiah, but who had died, leaving them distraught and confused, who they were sure was the Messiah, and because there was no one else like him. But Jesus' death, that death which he suffered, was only a momentary transition from his earthly life into a new divine life. And it was part of God's plan. For Jesus, his death was more like a grub making itself a cocoon in order to be transformed into a butterfly than a permanent state of non-physical existence. Although a painful experience, and one which required complete trust in his Father, Jesus' death was about Jesus taking upon his innocent, sinless earthly body all the sins of the world and die the death which those sins required. And this is the moment that all the sin offerings and guilt offerings of the Old Covenant were pointing to help us to understand this moment. Romans 6:23, that the punishment of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And so after Jesus, having died, his spirit descended to where people's spirits go when they are separated from God in death. Jesus then defeated death, breaking its power and grip over people, and in doing so, his body was resurrected into an immortal physical body, shining brightly like a glorious sun if he wanted. And now no one need go to that place of separation from God when they die. And we have the promise to receive a glorious immortal body just like Jesus's when he returns to put all things right and removes all death and decay from creation and will come to rule over it, declared as he is, as its king. And this is why we celebrate this day more than any other. And we ought to celebrate it more than any other day. On Good Friday, we're shown the extent of God's love as Jesus hangs on the cross. But on Easter Sunday, we see God's power and wisdom to bring new life. In death, our relationship with people is broken. And this was true for the disciples and Jesus. When Jesus died, the disciples who loved Jesus were cut off from his presence in their lives. Sure, he would continue on in that indelible mark that he had left on them, but they would no longer have his physical presence. However, with his resurrection, the disciples' relationship with Jesus was restored. And not just restored to what it had been. It was restored in a way which saw it renewed and to bring something new and better than before. Something new and better which would allow Mary to hold on to Jesus always and forever, although in a spiritual way. However, for this day, when Jesus had risen from the dead and appeared to Mary, this was not that time. This moment was for her to share the good news with the rest of the disciples. Now, over the past Sundays leading up to today, we've been doing a series on what we need to die to in our lives in order to be renewed in our relationship with God. On Good Friday, we looked at the importance of letting go of past hurts and to forgive. It was Jesus' capacity to forgive us which has allowed us to receive forgiveness for our sins. And so we need to be willing to lay down the past hurts others have caused us so that we can forgive them. Only the dual characteristics coming together of repentance and forgiveness can restore a broken relationship. So let us not forget the character trait of God which allows Easter Sunday to be a thing. God's willingness to forgive. And we're going to explore how forgiveness not only restores but also brings renewal and new life to broken relationships. We saw on Friday the forgiveness that we have received from God means that we can fully enjoy him. Because we no longer have to worry about there's something being between us and God which makes it an uncomfortable relationship for us. And we no longer have to worry about whether God is going to bring up our past or hold it against us. And he isn't going to pay us back either, because he has chosen to remove the offense that we had caused him. But forgiveness of God for our sins is not just God saying, look, it's okay, it doesn't matter, I'm over it, it was in the past. No, I've moved on. But the forgiveness which God offers is the actual removal of our sin from us. And this is what Jesus' sacrifice of himself on the cross makes possible. However, the forgiveness of God is even more than this, than the removal of sin. Because the removal of sin and the separation it causes means that you are no longer separated from God. And there's no clearer example of this than God giving us His Holy Spirit to live in our hearts. God literally has joined Himself spiritually to us forever. So not only are we not separated from God, God has connected Himself intimately with us. Now this allows God to give us His thoughts, His wisdom, and His heart for things, among other things. That's right. God can make known to us His actual thoughts, His actual wisdom, and give us His actual heart. And I'm not just talking about God making known to us what His thoughts are, or making known to us His wisdom, or making known to us His heart. But God actually gives us His thoughts, His wisdom, His heart to be ours. That's a connection not even the angels have. It doesn't mean that every thought we have comes from God, though. Nor that it's easy to know which thoughts are ours and which are God's. Nor can we demand of God His thoughts. He gives them to us at times as a gift. Same with His wisdom and His heart. So learning to hear Jesus' voice through the sermon is a skill to learn, and one which I think in this life we never completely master, which is why we always need to hear what others have said throughout church history and beyond into the prophets, and also to listen to one another as we engage with each other. So forgiveness has given us an intimate spiritual connection with God. But forgiveness also releases us from our past. One of the things about being a sinful being is that we have done many, many, many things which we deeply regret. Have we not? Even the best of us have many regrets. And then some people have done even more terrible things than what we have even done. Now, one of the most well-known examples of a person who was engaged in doing some evil things, even beyond what you and I may have done, is John Newton. It's a good example because it's one that you probably already know. John Newton was a slave trader. But God touched his life and transformed him to be a great opponent of slavery, because he knew firsthand the evil of the slave trade, because he personally felt the weight of his immoral actions as a slave trader. And out of his experience of God's forgiveness, we get the most well-known hymn today, Amazing Grace. And Amazing Grace explores the amazing love and forgiveness of God, and how God removes the stains of our past to live in the new life, and to live a new life in the midst of God's gracious blessing. So we're no longer defined by our mistakes of our past. God does not care one bit who I was in the past. He does not care one bit who you were in your past. It's in the past, and it's no longer your reality or my reality. It's no longer a part of reality. It's like the old version of you has been updated with the new version. And the old version has been deleted, as far as God's concerned. You are who you are right now. Peter had let down Jesus when he wasn't as strong as he thought. In that time of great trial of Jesus, Peter had disowned him. Peter must have been filled with such tremendous regret and guilt at having done this. And later on in John's Gospel, just before Jesus ascends to heaven, we read that touching story of that moment where Jesus comes to Peter and addresses the regret that he had in letting Jesus down when he needed him most. Mirroring Peter's disowning of Jesus, Jesus asks Peter three times if he loves him. And Jesus restores his relationship with Peter so that there's no longer any uneasiness that Peter would feel in his relationship with Jesus. And Jesus restores his relationship with Peter, which has been broken, fully restoring it. But more than simply restoring him, Jesus gives Peter a special role to fulfill. And this just shows how Jesus just gives full trust to Peter. And his special role is to be the chief among all people, to look after all other disciples and all other followers of Jesus, as Jesus will be absent physically to go and sit at his Father's right hand. What an amazing moment. This is the renewal in the restoration we have through the forgiveness that Jesus offers us. In many movies and stories, there's often a kind of hero who isn't really much of a hero. Maybe even an anti-hero. And this sort of hero is someone who doesn't deserve to be considered a hero. Because of their past, they've done terrible things, which they've done. But when placed into an extreme situation, they kind of get forced to stand up for what is good and right. And often the drive to bring goodness into the world is out of that sense of needing to atone for their past sins. But sadly in these stories, such characters usually remain haunted by their pasts and never experience a freeing from it. They believe that they are still defined by their past. But God says, "Behold, the old has gone, the new has come. You are a new creation. You are who you are today, not who you were yesterday." And this frees you to become who God wants you to be in joy rather than in regret. And this becoming more like Jesus in joy rather than with regret of our past brings with it hope and the motivation to grow and change. Because this means that if you're struggling with something currently, if with God's help you can overcome that sin in the future, then you know that God will just release you from the shame and guilt associated with that sin and replace it with his joy. Doesn't that bring incredible hope for the places where you struggle? And the ultimate Christian hope is that God is going to transform us so that the who which you are contains no sinfulness. When we receive that new immortal body that I spoke of earlier, our sinfulness will be no more. So one day God is going to put right all our flaws and points of weakness, and they will no longer be a part of the who which you are, and you will be completely released from the power of regret and condemnation. Isn't that good news? And just like Jesus' forgiveness has transformational power, I want to encourage you too, because so does your forgiveness of others also have incredible power. It too has the power to help remove regret from people's lives and set them free from their past selves to walk in the newness of who they are in Christ. So again, living out the forgiveness of Jesus in our lives is just so important for those around us. Now, the forgiveness we have from Jesus is a constant forgiveness. And this enables Jesus to constantly call you to grow, to become more like Him, and to never condemn us, even in the midst of us committing sin. The Holy Spirit will always be at work in us, convicting us of our sin, always at work to help us to turn away from our sin, so that we stop ourselves from doing it. However, even in the midst of sinning, Jesus is calling to us. He's calling us to Him. And this means we should never have the attitude that, well, I've sinned so much already that God is going to condemn me for it anyway, so I might as well just enjoy it and indulge my sinful nature. All that God is ever concerned about is preventing a deepening and worsening of the harm that we cause ourselves and others in us continuing to sin. And so God wants to prevent that at any point. And so He's always calling us to repentance, always calling us to Him, even in the midst of us sinning. And we too need to have an attitude of constant forgiveness of each other. This doesn't mean that we don't confront sinful behaviors, but that we always give people the grace to at any point reverse course, repent, and change their sinful attitude and behaviors. We are ready at any point. And that brings me to another special power of forgiveness. Because so far, all the benefits of forgiveness have been about those who are the recipients of the forgiveness. However, when we forgive, the one who forgives is also blessed. Did you know that Jesus' death resulted in Him getting, in exchange, something which is far greater than the pain and suffering He experienced on the cross? Do you know that? Now, first of all, this is God the Father glorifying Him and giving Him the name which is above all other names. But there's something else in addition to this, which Jesus considered to be of a far greater exchange in joy than for the pain that He experienced on the cross. And that's that He gets to live in a restored relationship with you forever. That thought gave Jesus so much joy that we're told in Hebrews 12, verse 2, for the joy set before Him. And that's talking about our restored relationship with Jesus. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And so there is a blessing for us when we are willing to forgive those who have sinned against us. Because when we forgive, we get to enjoy the blessings of a restored relationship. And in the power of God, often a renewed relationship which can be stronger than before it was ever broken. I mean, only God can perform this miracle, but it's one he can do. But the thing is that also the other benefit we get from forgiving is that in our forgiving, we become a better person and more like Christ. On Good Friday, I included an example from the show Revenge, and how the main character, her drive to get revenge, in that show, they showed how it destroyed her, who she was, her character. But you know what? The opposite is also true. Forgiving others builds us up and grows us in our character. It grows us to be more like Jesus, who died and rose for us again. So as we celebrate this Easter and Easter season, we have seen the importance of forgiveness in our relationship with God and with each other. The total, complete forgiveness offered to us by God through Jesus' death and resurrection sees us cleansed from all the negative aspects of our sin and renewed to walk in a newness of life where we enjoy all the blessings of a restored relationship with God, where God has drawn us so close to himself that he has spiritually entwined himself with us, connected himself with us, with himself forever. He's done this because each one of us is so very special to him. And he loves you so very much. He loves you so very much and wants you to be in heaven with him. So much so that he considered suffering the shame of the cross and its agony a joy. So celebrate today as we especially remember Jesus' resurrection. Because that same power of God which raised Jesus from the dead is at work in you today and forevermore. Amen. Christ is risen. Amen.